When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to the Movie Podcast Super Bowl Extravaganza. My name is Daniel. And we're off to a great start.
Was it the right one?
No, I mean, you were just playing playing a stadium song. So.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
We got to pay money for that.
Oh shoot! Now we're sued.
We got to pay money for that. For that original song that they just made up on the spot, not relating to any other licensed song out there.
I call that Super Duper Bowl.
We like it. Theme song. We like it.
Yeah, the Super Bowl goes.
Yeah, guys. We can't afford this. We can't keep getting these copyright strikes, please.
Let me do a Taylor Swift song really quickly. Hold on.
No, don't do it. That first lovely voice that, you know, started to serenade us first, that is Shabazz. Hello, Shabazz.
Hey, sports fans.
Okay, sure.
Isn't that what they say?
They do say that.
Hey, sports fans.
I think I only
come
did two.
And get
I think,
your sports here.
I think I only did two hays, though. Come and get your... Now you sound like a drifter. Come get your sports here, kids. It's like just
I
opening
got your
up like
sports
a...
balls and memorabilia. Okay.
Just opening up a trench coat.
Yeah.
Just fake. Why do you Rolexes have a bunch and a just, bunch of different... Like,
and footballs.
Footballs.
Fake footballs.
Sure, those are fake footballs, yeah. Sure. And rounding out our trio to talk all about the Super Bowl today is Anthony. Hi, Anthony.
Hello. Welcome to your post-game Super Bowl trailer blowout review extravaganza explosion.
Oh, I like that.
The man of few words for some reason has a lot of words.
Can't
today.
Think of any other words.
There was a lot of words that were just said, but it's okay because it's the Super Bowl. Do you know what number Super Bowl this is?
58.
Wow, you guys are correct.
You can't read Roman numerals, Daniel. Come on, it's very simple.
No, I was just asking you guys if you knew. I didn't want you to turn it on me.
Like, come on, dude.
Yeah, what year are we in? We're here to talk all about the Super Bowl. We'll give our thoughts on the halftime show, and of course, all of the brand new trailers that were released. I love Super Bowl Sunday. This is this is the one day of the year that I really get to try and feel like an American and cook American food and watch the Super Bowl and watch nothing but football all day. It's a great experience because, that's what we get to do. We're going to get to the whole rigmarole of the show. But I got to ask you guys, do you have any Super Bowl traditions or anything that you guys like to do during the Super Bowl? Anthony, we'll get you to start us off.
For me, it's usually just, once the game starts, grabbing a bite to eat, enjoying it with friends and family, and just watching it, and just, watching the Super Bowl commercials, watching the halftime show, watching the game, explaining the game a lot of the time to other people because they don't understand yards and why don't they go on a fourth down, or why does a field goal without a touchdown equal 3 points when a field goal with a touchdown equals one. So there's a lot of rules and understandings of football that you kind of have to explain to people during the Super Bowl. But I enjoy it because it is the biggest game on earth. I don't know. Maybe it's not because soccer is
No, I think FIFA World Cup is bigger.
Soccer's bigger internationally, obviously in the States, you're looking at, football is a religion. You have baseball up there. You have basketball up there, obviously. But football is the pinnacle of
that's
sporting events.
It is passage for Americans.
It is. It really is.
I saw a lot of countries enjoying football this year. It's Sydney and Brazil and
Taylor Swift.
Even Portugal. I saw Portugal was huge with the football this year. Daniel, if you didn't know, they love the Ronaldo of America, which is Travis Kelce.
What?
I don't think that's what they call him. I'll be honest.
I feel like I went through like a time warp hole. I was like, what are you saying?
Maybe it's Patrick Mahomes. Maybe it's Patrick Mahomes.
I thought Patrick Mahomes. I'm like, oh, because he's the skin tone is very similar.
the great thing about this is that you're going to hear an episode later this week on the movie podcast where we have another reference of like, oh, you're this of Portugal.
You'll hear it on our
Bob Marley interviews later this week. But it's just so funny that you guys love attributing people like, oh, you're this person to Portugal. Very good. I love it. Shabazz, what are your Super Bowl traditions?
You know, I'll be totally honest with you. I don't really watch the Super Bowl. I don't understand football. But I love the pageantry of the Super Bowl. Like I watch this game sometimes, or I'll look at it and I'll be like, I have no idea what's going on. And I'll never ask that question. I don't want to know. I'm just enjoying everyone else enjoying it. Typically though, for Super Bowl, man, it'll be just family and friends, or I don't know. I'll sometimes just skip it all together and just kind of watch the trailers and the halftime show on my own. Today, I actually did something even more incredible. I actually went to the United States.
Wow. You wanted to be part of it.
I wanted to understand what was happening in the city that everyone was cheering about.
You drove to Vegas. Wow, that's a long drive, dude.
It was quick. It was not that bad. No, I drove down to, you know, where we are. We're located. We're close to Buffalo, New York. So I drove down, and of course, the border was completely dead because who's going to be driving on Super Bowl Sunday? But the stores, like I went to like Trader Joe's and stuff, and they were like packed. Like everyone was like, I need to get the dip. I need to make sure there's enough dip at this party that I'm hosting. but it was cool. It was cool. And then I came home and I watched a bit of the game. Yeah, it was crazy. I don't know what was happening.
That's great.
I'm really happy for Kansas City. I lived in Kansas City for about a year of my life, so I was a little child though. So, you know, yeah. I'm always happy for the home team.
Yeah, you are our resident Kansas City fan.
Yeah,
we really think about it. He's our resident Kansas City chief.
Don't call me that. Don't call me that though. That might be a little too on the nose for some people. You know. They don't want that. No, they'll cancel us.
No, that's great though. It's funny though that you were in the States. Did you feel the air was a little different today when you were there, outside the stores, people getting prepared for it?
People had the fever today. They were all like wishing each other a happy Super Bowl and saluting the flag. It was really weird.
Happy Super Bowl.
happy Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you as well, and to your family.
And also with you.
And also with you. And then they blew me a kiss and I walked out of there. Yeah. You know?
That's great, man. Listen, I think.
What about you?
Oh, for me, I mean, listen, I said a little bit already that I love just making American food. I love just, you know, consuming.
What is American food to you? That's a curious statement.
I make like barbecue. Like I made like slow cooker ribs today. I made a pasta salad. I had like red lobster rolls that I made. And like, it's just like super like.
You said pasta? That's a very American food. You're right. Yeah.
Like a pasta salad.
Oh, okay. Anthony, what are your thoughts on pasta salad? As a resident Italian, what do you think? Is that a...
Sure. I don't know. I don't know if Italians...
Do you stake a claim to that? Or are you like, no, that's cold pasta. We could give that to the Americas.
Yeah. No, I think cold pasta is just a common thing. Like the next day you would just have cold pasta if you had warm pasta, if you had it left over.
I mean, that's so just
it's,
science.
It's a leftover food, you're saying, basically.
Yeah.
I don't understand the salad part.
Well, what is like, salad? What do you mean?
I don't know.
Pasta salad?
Like, what is the salad portion of it? Like, is there actual like lettuce and
greens?
Like,
there's vegetables in it and stuff.
I think it's the terminology.
Vegetables
of,
just vegetables? Okay.
And the
thing and stuff like that too. Like, it's not like traditional, like a red sauce or an Alfredo sauce or a white sauce.
Like a ranch or something?
No, not at all. It's like a vinaigrette.
I think it's more used as... Usually with the pasta, you would eat it as a dish on its own. With pasta salad, you would have it with your meal as a side, as like a salad.
It's a side.
I had a very Super Bowl meal today. I had paella, which is, of course, the American
classic Super Bowl meal.
It's a classic Super Bowl salad.
It's a Spanish salad.
It really is. I had a bunch of those American foods. Let me know if they're American foods or not.
That sounds good, though.
Usually on Super Bowl Sunday, I'll always watch Remember the Titans, because how could I not? One of my favorite films.
Left Foot? That's not the right left foot. I meant left side.
Left side. Left side. Strong side.
I was going to do left foot, right foot.
Are you going to put your left foot in, put your left foot out?
No.
And you shake it all about?
Yeah. No, man.
Yeah, do a little hokey pokey. No, so I do that. And then I honestly just look forward to the trailers. And that's something that, you know, especially in recent years, these trailers have felt like they've gotten bigger and bigger. And, you know, there was a big thread that was started today, you know, from our friend of the show, Liam Crowley from comicbook.com, that, you know, he was just like, share your favorite Super Bowl trailer. And like, for me, I always think of that first Avengers trailer, right? You think of when that dropped and you saw like, oh my God, these characters are now sharing a world together and coming together. And I'll never get over that. And again, we were so spoiled by what's superhero movies could be now and fan service and all of that. But in 2012, 12 years ago now, that really was like, holy, that was a holy shit moment, right? That was wild.
Yeah. I've watched that trailer, you know, getting closer and closer to this Super Bowl. And it's just like, wow, I remember when these things would hit. And it was just that era of the internet as well, where it wasn't immediately on the net. It was like,
right,
you really had to watch it on TV first. Now, a lot of the times, like they beat the Super Bowl and they'll be online first. And I feel like
they're releasing the week of.
And I feel like the last couple of years, there haven't been really big ones. And I mean, like really recently, it could have been COVID or whatever.
Yeah, but this for sure.
Super Bowl, like, man, I'm excited to talk about these trailers because I felt like we got some ones that we'll be talking about years to come from now as well.
Well, let's get the show started. Of course, this is the Movie Podcast. You could catch brand new episodes all throughout the week with new interviews, reviews, and episodes and all the latest movies and series. We absolutely love making this show. And if you love this show, if you're listening right now, if you have a couple bucks to toss our way, you know, consider supporting us in Patreon. You could help us keep the lights and the mics on. Everything you need to know is in our show notes below, as well as our link to YouTube, so you could see our lovely faces, you could see all of the great guests that we have on the show, and our Discord. So if you want to join the conversation, if you want to have some fun with us here in the world of the Movie Podcast, that would be lovely. We would love to have you. Of course, make sure you follow us on socials at the Movie Podcast, Instagram, X, TikTok, wherever you are, the Movie Podcast is there. Again, show notes below have everything you need to know and more. Now, we have a list of trailers we're going to get through. Before we get to those, I would love to know your thoughts on the game itself. Anthony, Kansas City, San Francisco 49ers. This is a pretty boring game for me, I'll be honest with you. Until, you know, we went into what, the halftime, was it 3-3 or was it 3-0? It was a very low scoring game. It wasn't until the fourth quarter and then overtime that we really got, you know, the show that we wanted. What was your thoughts kind of coming out of this?
Yeah, it was a little bit boring just because both teams were playing a little sloppy and there was just, they couldn't get through each other's defenses. There was fumbles, there was interceptions. And I think the fourth quarter is when both teams started to like ramp up their gameplay. And you started to see that, okay, they, you know, McCaffrey. He was like a little tank going through the linesman and getting right through the defense. And both teams were passing and teams were catching. And it just felt like, okay, this is the game that we could have had in the first three quarters, but we're getting it at the end. And that's these types of games. You always get this anxiety and tension, especially when it's your points are all through field goals, and then you got two touchdowns, and then it's overtime, and then you
go inch by inch in this game.
And you know, Patrick Mahomes is a phenom, man. Like, we're watching someone who's right now like a legend in a sense. Like, I don't like saying it, but you could just see it. Like, a lot of people say, I think this guy is something special. I think he is something special. He is special. There is a thing about this guy that he has football IQ that I've never seen on field other than Tom Brady. And you know, there he goes, wins another championship, and it's because of him. It's no one else other than him, and maybe Pacheco, because he was doing really really well catching the ball today. But other than that, like, I really enjoyed the halftime show, but the overall game was a little lackluster until the end. But I wish, you know, it could have been a little bit more exciting. But you know, that's like, who am I to speak? I don't play football.
Yeah.
I'm not on the line. I'm not throwing the ball. I'm not catching the ball. I'm not defending the ball. So, you know, it is what it is, but
yeah. No, but I'm glad. Like, honestly, like the most important thing is that it turned into a really fun game. And then, you know, you mentioned the halftime show, Usher, the Apple Music halftime show. Shay, thoughts on that? You know, we grew up, you know, all three of us with Usher being in the picture. And I think of, you know, school dances, My Boo. That was the track. And to see Usher and Alicia Keys performing together. What was your thoughts on the overall halftime show?
Buddy, you score a dance to My Boo? That's it. You're the king of the dance floor.
You're the king of
king
the school.
Queen that's of the dance works. Floor. Like, they're like, oh, that's Tough Ting right there. Dancing with another inside joke from the...
Another future reference that you'll get very soon.
Is that a future reference episode?
That's a future reference. That same episode that I was referencing earlier in this.
That's true. Yeah.
Our Bob Marley one. Stay tuned for that later this week. Look forward
to that. Man, seeing Usher baby up there right after he just dropped the new album on us as well. Wicked. Absolutely unbelievable. Ludacris. All of that. Just I loved just how he's such a performer, man. Like, this guy, when he gets on there, it's a team effort. You know, they're bringing it there all, and he's just absolutely just, he doesn't skip a beat. It's funny how there's already like memes coming out from it too, because the way Usher dances, especially by today's standard, like, dance obviously is such
Watch this.
It's changed, you know, so much. And when Usher used to dance, it was so much more sexual back then. Now I feel like, you know, dance isn't like that. So when you're seeing Usher get up there, it's kind of like, it's like, I get it. This was really cool when I was a kid, but like, now it's kind of like, now it just kind of looks weird sometimes.
When he ripped off his shirt.
Yeah, you know, but like, it's part of the charm. Like, so you're just watching
it. For
like,
sure.
This is what I'm used to. And like, the robotic, like, dancing that kind of happens from it. It's really fun.
The pop and locking.
The thing about Usher is you forget how many hits he has. Like, it is.
Oh,
it's the amount of
deep catalog. Yeah.
It's also like, like, holy macaroni. Like, this guy has hit after hit after hit after hit. And it's not like
features,
you know,
just features.
Hits. They're like 15, 20 hits. And
Yeah.
Because Usher's not a loud person. He's not like this big superstar that's in your face like a lot of
nowadays,
superstars we deal with nowadays.
Yeah.
So you forget, and then when he comes out and he does this show, you're like, oh yeah, you're in the top 100 artists of all time for sure.
Yeah. It's one of those things. It's like when you've achieved everything that he has, it's like, you don't need to be making these crazy moves all the time, because it's like, you've already,
absolutely,
you've made it to the face of Mount Rushmore type thing. Right. It's like, you've solidified yourself in history. It's like, and then when I show up, it's going to be a big deal. And then you look at Rihanna last year as well too, who, you know, she hasn't dropped an album in forever, but she showed up and then reminded us why she is one of the greatest of all time. And then I think ever since, you know, this is the second year that Apple Music has been doing their thing, I'm really curious to see how the show evolves next year. It's been really cool seeing, for us, because we're Apple Music users, like, seeing all the playlists leading up to the Super Bowl and behind the scenes things. And again, as we were talking about the pageantry of the Super Bowl, I love watching making ofs. I love watching those mini docs, those packages that they run throughout the day. On, you know, when you're watching the football games, because you're like, man, like, there's so much love and care put into these stories that we're telling.
I was watching an interview on Apple Music with Zane Lowe and Will.i.am, and it's like, they were just asking, hey, you're gonna be on the show, you're gonna be part of that, because he has that song with him. So it's like,
yeah,
he was alluding to it, but he didn't want to like commit to it. But it's just, it's when you see those behind the scenes and everything leading up, because they were leading up to something, right? Like, who was gonna show up? You know, Jermaine Dupri being there, Ludacris being there, Lil Jon being there, Alicia Keys.
Yeah, like, you have these. No, Justin Bieber, though.
That's
Justin Bieber, what people were expecting.
Yes. But, you know, he was in the stands.
He was enjoying the game. He's like, oh,
he was enjoying the game.
He looks down at his watch like, oh shit, I'm supposed to be down there. Damn.
Okay. He takes out his hockey sticks and it's like slap-shotting Usher for some
guys,
reason.
Guys, I just coached the Leafs. Like, I just coached these all-stars. I think I'm okay.
At one point, so I'm like, okay, why isn't Justin Bieber on skates at this point?
Well, I mean, Usher came out on roller skates. So Justin could have showed up on, you know, his roller skates too. So
yeah.
We don't know. Maybe one day. But let's get to the big reason why we're here. Why we're the movie podcast. Let's talk about some movie trailers.
Movies, baby.
I didn't do the trailers jingle. Should we do the movies jingle, or is that only for main episodes?
This is kind of like a main episode right here. I mean, it's like a special Super Bowl main episode, right? So I think it's safe to do the trailers jingle. Should we do like a new version of it for the Super Bowl?
I mean, I could start something and then you guys can just...
I'm just kidding.
Trailers.
What do you have for us, Daniel? Please lay it on us.
Let's get to some trailers.
Trailers. Oh yeah,
I like it. That felt good. Yeah, that felt good.
I like it.
We have a bunch of brand new trailers. We'll be making our way down from a list courtesy of Entertainment Weekly. So I think we all have that here. Let's get things rolling with A Quiet Place Day One. Now this is a side story. This is a prequel to, obviously, A Quiet Place. This is not directed by John Krasinski, but we have a brand new cast. We have Juman Hanzu coming back as well, too, who we obviously had in A Quiet Place Part 2. We also got to interview him in December.
Friend of the show. FOS.
Shabazz, start us off with your thoughts for A Quiet Place Day One.
Like you said, you know, we got this trailer bit earlier as well. But man, I'm all in for it. Everything about it seems cool. It's also really cool to see Joseph Quinn, also another friend of the show, just finally something other than Stranger Things, because we loved him so much in Stranger Things that I know all of us have been like, I can't wait to see him again. And I think when we, and it's a bit of a tangent here, when we got Dominic Sessa in The Holdovers, that was like the Joseph Quinn energy. That's like, I can't wait to see this guy now do something else as soon as possible. So seeing Joseph Quinn in this, I'm all in for it. I love Aliens. I love the world of The Quiet Place. I think, you know, obviously Part 2 has its ups and downs, but overall the characters of Cillian Murphy and that, Juman Hanzu, they're all fantastic. They all brought something so fresh to the movie. And I just think a story and a dynamic about how the world went from being super loud to just super quiet is just so interesting to me. I know we got a bit of a taste of that in the beginning of Part 2, but I'm sure this one's just going to go deeper and deeper into what the first Quiet Place did so well, which is telling you how the world and how, you know, life is in complete silence and really stripping sound away, and how the importance of sound is. That I think this movie, A Quiet Place Day One, is going to teach us how the importance of silence is.
What's we had you know, this is directed by Michael Cernowski, who directed Pig, where if you rewind the clocks, you know, almost 3 years ago, Anthony, you and I did a review of Pig. We really loved that film.
I remember you guys did that.
Yeah, it was a really good film with Nicolas Cage.
Yes. A really great film. And that's one of those things that makes me really excited to see him do this. Again, A Quiet Place wasn't a film that I ever wanted a sequel from, but now that we're getting more stories in it, you know, like, okay, you know, let's see what else is going on in this world. I'm down for it. I love the editing to breathing, which they did for A Quiet Place Part 2. But Anthony, thoughts on the trailer?
Yeah, the trailer, I think it's so much bigger than my vision for The Quiet Place franchise, just because it was such an independent type of movie in the beginning, and now you could clearly see it's like this huge franchise that they're trying to create. They got money. Like, now, like, they're doing this whole movie in New York, so it's a huge environment. You see, like, I don't know, the Brooklyn Bridge or some bridge on fire. There's like jets in the sky. You see the aliens drop into Earth's atmosphere. Like, it's just a lot of visual effects, much bigger than what we've gotten in the past two, where it's more of a, you know, small community type of storyline. This one is going to be much bigger. The whole world is dealing with this at the same time. You are getting huge explosions. Lupita Nyong'o's face is just like, her eyes just say it all in this trailer.
Terrifying, iconic, because, right? She nails it.
Yeah,
just like she did in Us.
She is fear. Like, oh my god! Like,
she captures fear very, very well.
Yeah,
her emotions on her face, and Desmond Hanzu just being there as well, and Joseph Quinn, which I don't, we talked about him. We've only seen him in Stranger Things. This is his first role in 2-3 years, right? So this is something that we actually get to see him and what he brings to the table and what he brings to, you know, that anything else other than the Stranger Things, I'm excited to see. And yeah, like it's so much bigger than what it was. And I'm just curious, you know, when movies get bigger, they tend to start losing track of what they started from. And I'm just,
yeah,
that's kind of like not my worry, but just
absolutely
curiosity when it comes to where does this movie continue? Is it become so grand and big that they can't keep track of it anymore? Like they can't be ahead of it. And
right,
we'll see what happens in the summer.
Yeah.
Or when does this come out? March?
Well, it's not far off. So this is coming out in June.
Oh, okay.
So June 28th. We still have a few months to go, but you know, it's going to arrive sooner than we think, right? I mean, the year goes by so fast.
It is interesting though that, you know, it's not exactly like a third film in the story that we've been seeing. You know, it's really is a prequel. So that's what kind of makes it really interesting for me, is because like you can take the world that you've already kind of created a film in and now tell a completely different story. You're not reliant.
Yeah.
You know, that's usually the problem when you're going into a third film, is like you're still reliant on so much connective tissue.
Yeah.
Here you can be like, we love what we did with this concept. Let's see if we can tell a different story in it. And I think that's what kind of has kept me interesting. I'm also really curious how long that cat lives in this movie, because that's so interesting to me. Like, how is that going to be a character that's going to be utilized? I think that's going to introduce another level of tension that you're always kind of like, is this cat going to meow, or are they going to get screwed over by the cat?
You know, is this cat going to ruin it for us? 100%.
This one thing that we really never seen, like the animals and how they deal with, because you know, dogs are going to bark and birds are going to chirp and tigers are gonna roar. So
I think that's damn, man, you're not wrong. Like,
damn, dude, else, I need that on a shirt.
Any animals you want to talk about
that's an Anthony quote, 100%. You know,
elephants gone trunk. Elephants gonna trunk, you know what that mean?
You know, they're gonna like
dolphins gonna swim. Great. Okay, Andy, you know, are you done naming all the animals?
Can they swim? Sloths? I don't think they can swim.
Dolphins?
No, not dolphins. These aliens. I don't think they can swim because the water gets in water. In their ear.
They don't like water. Yeah. Spoilers for part two.
Yeah.
Don't they take a boat there? Or for Signs as well too. Yeah. I know we're going to get to the other trailers, but this is also a franchise that I could see eventually getting like a Paramount Plus series and them expanding
absolutely,
in a different way too. It feels like right for one.
It also feels like Google it and find that out.
It also feels like a movie like Starship Troopers, where this is Starship Troopers is the end result of A Quiet Place, where
they
find the planet and then they just go and destroy all these aliens for democracy.
So they make a comedy in this world.
Yeah,
100%.
That's great.
That'd be great. Let's move on to Despicable Me 4, which is a short teaser trailer for this one. But what I really respected for this is that Illumination of all studios is very set against AI. So they really just make fun of AI images and things like that in this trailer with the minions, whether you love them or hate them. I'm like, I respect what they pulled off with this teaser. Because we are in a place in the world now where we're getting images for things where it's getting harder and harder to really distinguish what's real and what isn't. And I like that this trailer made fun of that. Illuminations obviously is coming off huge success with the Mario Brothers movie last year. Migration, I don't think really lit the world on fire, but I still think it was at least a modest success for them. So it'd be interesting to see what Despicable Me does, because these movies just print money. Like, this is going to be a $1 billion movie, most likely. Like, should it review well and, you know, people show up for it?
Yeah, I think the kids are going to show up. They always do with the Despicable Me franchise. And it's actually like really smart to incorporate the AI, because that is the hottest thing being talked about now. So why not make a trailer of these minions building the AI? And you know, they are the ones who are creating these imageries for you to see. So, and it's cute because they're like,
yeah,
they're making fun of themselves and us at the same time.
Yeah, 100%. Also, just to confirm, actually, Migration looked like it was a bigger than a modest success. The budget for Migration,
it did really well.
$72 million, and it made $235 million at the box office. So that's pretty incredible.
I was just gonna say, like, I was looking it up.
Yeah. So Illumination's doing really well. Shay, any thoughts on Despicable Me 4?
No, I think you guys covered it. I mean, I think the idea of making fun of AI art, which is already such a big subject at the moment, a lot of, you know, TV shows, a lot of movies are coming under fire for using AI art. So calling that out right away, I think, is really fun. I'm not a huge Minion fan. I have enjoyed the Despicable Me, you know, earlier films. I didn't know we were at 4 already. But
we've gotten a lot of spinoffs, right? We've had a lot of spinoffs.
And I feel like the Minions have popped up in so many short films and stuff here and there. Not a big Minions guy, but at least, if it's a good movie, it's a good movie, you know?
Yeah, 100%. So in quick rundown before we move on, Despicable Me came out in 2010, the first one, and it made $540 million. Despicable Me 2, under a billion. Yeah. Number 3, over a billion. So this one was most likely tracking for that $1 billion mark. The Minions film made over $1 billion. And Minions Rise of Gru.
Do you think that this will be a billion-dollar film?
I think it has the potential. I mean, they're only trending upwards. Minions, which was in 2015, over a billion. The Rise of Gru, which was in 2022, over a billion. Despicable Me 3, over a billion. Wow. So most likely this is going to be one of our billion-dollar films this year. Continuing on, we have The Fall Guy. This is coming from Universal Studios, and it's opening up in theaters May 3rd. You have a huge cast in The Fall Guy. Obviously, Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Hannah Waddingham. It's directed by David Leitch, who was going to direct Jurassic Park, and then 24 hours later, not part of the conversation anymore. Shortest
director hire ever. He had one day on the job.
He's going to do it.
What did he do? What could you imagine David Leitch having done first day walking in the room and being like, all right, with this new one, we're saying no more dinosaurs. Okay, you're fired, David. Like, get out of here.
You guys remember that Velociraptor that said Alan?
Yeah.
He's coming back.
The film.
And he's talking. Yeah. He's talking this whole movie. No, David, what? No.
All of the raptors, they got guns for hands. Okay, David.
Yeah.
You're fired.
The Fall Guy looks fun. Honestly, everything I see about this film also makes it feel like it's not a real movie. Again, it's nothing against the film. It just feels like I think that's the point of it. No. It feels like it's like a commercial. It feels like it's like a Super Bowl. It definitely
feels like a commercial.
Spot, you know what I mean? So it's fitting that we saw it during the Super Bowl, but it just feels like it's so it's really amping up like the machismo and things like that. But I think that's intentional in it. How have you guys been feeling with The Fall Guy?
Yeah, I think it has like that bullet train kind of vibe, you know, where it's very like fast cuts, really in your face. Like I feel like this is how Axe body spray is marketed towards men. You know, I haven't seen an Axe body spray commercial in a long time, but it just screams at you like Red Bull and 5-hour energy. And I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. Okay, like Ryan Gosling, really hot. Emily Blunt, really hot. Okay, there's just a lot of sun. They're also in a really hot place because they're shooting a movie. So yeah, it just feels like, I don't know, I feel like that movie comes with like a monster energy drink. You know, you have to pour that on your popcorn before you go inside the theater.
Yeah, that's possible. Anthony, how about you?
It feels like a Netflix film. I don't know why. I keep seeing it and I always think, man, is this on Netflix? Is this going to be on the Netflix? I don't know if it's the color palette. You can see the
Netflix logo almost on it, yeah.
But I'm interested to see the behind this, like, because they're capturing this movie as like a behind the scenes of a movie being made. So it's just interesting to see like what that looks like, because I just feel like a camera on a dolly in front of another camera on a dolly. You know what I'm saying? Like, just the creation of this movie is very
the meta-ness of it, right?
Yes, very. And I like Ryan Gosling. I think he's funny, and I'm interested to see him and Emily Blunt and that chemistry and just building. I guess this is going to become more of a rom-com adventure.
Yeah.
Right. So
something about the trailer is like something about the movie. It kind of reminds me of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, but like the XXX version of the movie, you know, like,
okay.
I don't know what it is. Cause there's actually a murder that happens in it. Right. In this movie, based on the trailer, it's based like there's a murder. There's like a Hollywood element to it. And Kiss Kiss Bang Bang kind of has both those things as well. It's a Hollywood film, but it's also like a murder mystery. So it just, I don't know.
Even like Nice Guys, I guess.
The Nice Guys too. It kind of gives me that Shane Black vibe, but if David Leitch was behind it, you know, if he wanted to make it as John Wick as possible, that's kind of the vibe that it gave me. So yeah, I mean, it seems cool. I hope it is.
Yeah, I hope it's a good time. We know it's also going to be playing at CinemaCon, so stay tuned for that, because we'll be getting reactions pretty soon for that. Next up, we have Kung Fu Panda 4, which was a pretty short look at the film. It's wild to me that this is coming out in less than a month, and we haven't really gotten much of this film. You know, the Kung Fu Panda films have all performed really well at the box office. We haven't had one in almost 8 years. I know we had like the Netflix show and things like that, but yeah, I mean, it looks like more Kung Fu Panda. That's all I really have to say for it.
Yeah, honestly, personally, I'm not a big fan of the Kung Fu Panda franchise. I just never got into it. And I was watching this trailer, I just kept thinking, man, this could be a TV series for the kids to watch rather than, you know, a movie. But it just felt very similar to the previous versions of what I, you know, put in picture of what those other ones were. I only watched the first one, but it's a very similar style of adventure. So it just kind of felt flat when I watched it.
I get that. And I mean, like, we're also going into March, which is a busy month. You know, obviously Dune is going to be there, and this is going to be almost like, this comes out the week after Dune opens. It's going to be almost like the counter programming to what Dune is for the younger kids. But yeah, I'm curious to see how this is going to perform. Shay, any thoughts on Kung Fu Panda 4?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like more Kung Fu Panda. Nothing against the franchise. I've only seen the first one and I enjoyed it, but it didn't leave like a lasting impression that, oh, this is a movie that I'm going to continue watching over and over or anything like that. But I feel like, I don't know, maybe because the TV series on Netflix is so popular that I feel like we haven't been that far away from Kung Fu Panda. So getting another one now is just kind of like, yeah, sure, why not? Here we go. But I hope the fans are happy, because is everyone returning for it, or is it kind of like one of those sequels where it's like, we couldn't get Angelina Jolie this time, so we got this person who sounds so close to Jolie?
That's a great question. Like, I will look into that right now, because I'm curious. I feel like everyone is going to come back. Okay. I would hope, or they're going to have like a different cast. But it looks like, yeah, Jack Black, Awkwafina, Viola Davis, Dustin Hoffman, James Hong, Bryan Cranston, Ian McShane, Ki-Hui Kwan. So you have a bunch of newcomers. And I feel like if there were bigger names like Angelina Jolie or anything like that, maybe their characters would have a smaller role, or maybe they are not in it.
No Seth Rogen, no Jackie Chan, you know?
Yeah.
Like a lot of the older characters.
They might be dead.
They could be dead. Again, I haven't seen. I would really hope the Kung Fu Panda series isn't that extreme that they're killing off. Like, these are children watching these movies. I hope they're not dead, man. My God,
it's Kung Fu, man. You can die from that.
It's true. It's a dangerous sport. It's a dangerous sport.
Life and death. Now, speaking of characters dying and potentially coming back, let's get to one of the biggest trailers of the night, one that was not confirmed to be happening, but I'm so glad that it did. The newly titled Deadpool and Wolverine. This is the first time we've seen Deadpool in almost 6 years by the time this film is releasing. It is releasing this July. This is the only MCU movie slated to come out this year, and the only one that will come out this year. And I think that is a very smart move for Marvel. Slow it down, focus on quality. From this trailer, I mean, we've had so many leaks for this film, set photos, things like that. So when I was going into this trailer, I was almost expecting more
or different,
but we got a lot or different. But I'm also glad that they held back, because you also, like, I'm also at a point where I'm like, if this is the only Deadpool trailer that we get, I'm more than okay with that, because everybody knows Wolverine's going to be in it. He's in the bloody name of the movie. You don't need to show us anymore. But I mean, like, from what we've gotten, you know, Ryan Reynolds, you know, everyone is coming back from the other films. And then you're also seeing like Pyro show up from the X-Men universe, like from the Fox X-Men universe of films. You're seeing the TVA from Loki and them watching a bunch of clips from the MCU. And then, you know, Deadpool like calling himself MCU Wars Jesus.
Comic. Is a Secret Wars comic.
Yeah, Secret Wars comic. And then the Hulk soda from like in the Incredible Hulk film. So there's a lot of MCU ties, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of different YouTube channels breaking it all down. But I would love to know your guys' thoughts on this trailer. Shay, start us off.
I mean, yeah, it's what I loved is that there it is exactly what I expected. I think in terms of like the jokes that we were going to get and the Deadpool isms that we were going to get awareness to. I'm glad because it's what you want. Like, I want to see them make the Disney joke and make the MCU joke.
Pegging? Like, oh my God, we got a peg, like the pegging yeah. joke right in the beginning. Like the,
I think right Disney away
doesn't even know what wow. pegging is.
No,
even, they're like, yeah. makes a joke, right? Like, right. like to say that in a, you know, a, trailer that's being watched by like hundreds of millions of people. It's interesting that they allowed it in the trailer because it's not a yeah. it's not a
they're embracing it's not a
vulgar
it,
or
they're
embracing a vulgar right like it's just
they are the, so the official quote was pegging isn't new for me friendo but it is for Disney and he looks right into the camera and is just like wow okay. We're yeah. off to the races.
We get the Marvel Jesus line. So we have a lot of awareness yep. of Marvel, obviously. So it's going to be cool. Like we saw the 20th Century Fox studio, like buried in the ground that he, you know, has a fight in. So a lot of really meta humor jokes. So I think it's going to be a nice reset for the MCU. I think, you know, they've been having a bit of a bad time lately, you know, not the public eye hasn't been so great. So you kind of think that, you know, this movie may at least kind of help just poke fun at some of the things that everyone yeah. is harping on for Marvel. And it
people want to have a good time.
And exactly. And just, you know, laugh and joke about it. And then, hey, next year, guys, are coming back and we're coming back better. So let's see. Yeah.
Yeah. Anthony, thoughts on the Deadpool and Wolverine trailer?
I think Deadpool has a unique opportunity to really restart the MCU. Just put it like we'll say realign it back on its tracks and we'll see what it does when it comes out. I'm not a fan of what I saw? Not really, because it just felt like stuff that I already saw leaked and I wish I didn't see the stuff that was leaked, but it was leaked so much that yeah. it was just so abundant everywhere.
It was news everywhere. Yeah.
But, you know, it was on a cereal box, you know,
pretty much. It was on like those yeah. cars with the friggin' ads on the side. But no, it just, for me, Deadpool is, I have my issues with it. I like the meta-ness of it. I like the humor, but sometimes it becomes repetitive and annoying. I'm very interested to see how Wolverine, because I think he is such a character that's, you know, he's
a great foil to Wade.
Like, he's not someone who laughs a lot. He's not someone who's going to, you know, take his jokes. He probably kill him a couple of times. I think he's going to kill him many times. We're going to see that in the movie, but there is a scene where, you know, Wolverine's in a tuxedo. You see the back of him. There's a lot to this movie that we haven't seen, and I'm very interested in that part because everything that we saw today is stuff that I can, you know, pick and choose and put together from the photos and even the beginning.
It's what we expected, yeah, right?
The beginning of the trailer is very reminiscent of his first two films because there's a lot of the cast from those first two films. You have Colossus there, you have the whole team, you have even have like the bartender from behind the bar. Like there's a lot of
yeah.
people that
Dupinder, all of them.
There too, yeah. we know. So I like the TV aspect because now we're like, oh, okay, this is tying into the Loki, but you know, who's this new TVA director and what does he do?
Yeah, Matthew McFadden, right?
Where was he all this time? So there's questions that are going to be answered when we watch it. So I'm really interested in that, but why are you laughing?
There's gonna be questions that are gonna be answered. Like, I hope so.
Well, you never know, man, with Deadpool, because he's always like, he's always,
no, I know, I know,
you don't,
I
don't know, I know what you mean. He's crazy, right? Like, he's crazy.
I know, so what you mean,
whatever you think he's seeing could be completely imaginary. No, completely, like, it's even subvert of this your world.
Expectations. I totally exactly. get that. No, yeah, I totally understand that.
Listen, the birds are gonna chirp, you know, the bears are gonna roar,
trees are gonna be still. Oh, okay.
Yeah. One thing I do like was the ending where it's the shadow of the Wolverine and he, you can see,
yeah. Oh my god,
his blades come so out and cool. just like, that's very, very cool to, and then
that's where X-Men 97, like, you know,
stab him in the chest.
I respect that because it's like, I think they know at this point, yeah, we know that you've seen Hugh Jackman on set in costume, but we're not going to show him in the trailer. So I'm like, you know what? I respect that. We'll roll with that, and we'll see what the marketing of this film is going to be over the next, you know, 4 or 5 months as we wait for it to come out.
Surprised we didn't get the Dazzler Taylor Swift confirmation. You know, I mean, this was her big night. I thought they would have capitalized on it. So, but I mean, at the same time, I also can understand them not wanting to take away from stuff too. So,
yeah, that's going to be if and when that gets confirmed. That is going to be a trailer in itself. I truly believe it will be a whole marketing beat
edition. Yeah.
Yeah. That will be a whole marketing beat that they're going to focus on.
Its own, like you're writing. I think they don't even mention Deadpool. It's like, this is Dazzler in a concert, yeah. And it's like tied, and then Deadpool and Wolverine show up to the concert.
Deadpool's going to be at the end. Yeah. 100%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that'd be really cool. And again, with Reynolds.
Did we just pitch it? Like,
yeah, we just pitched it. That's what it's going to be. But yeah, with Reynolds' marketing company, like that's 100% what it's going to be. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. We got a brand new look at this. This is coming out in May.
Hype.
This is set hundreds of years, I guess, after the Matt Reeves trilogy, or the two films that Matt Reeves did. And I love those films, and this trailer got me even more excited. I love what Wes Ball is doing so far.
He's got me excited for Zelda, baby.
Oh my God.
This trailer was really good, man. The apes still look good. Like, that's, you can't beat perfection with the apes. They still look damn good. And I think this story just feels very interesting. It's almost kind of like if Koba ruled the world in a way, you know, like if that's like a very similar character, what Koba was like, you know, played by the wicked Toby Kebbell, friend of the show as well.
Friend of the show.
But yeah, it just looks cool, man. It just looks like a great time. I love this, where the story's going. I thought we wouldn't be getting any more apes movies. I thought they would just kind of refresh down the road years from now, but it looks like they got something to tell here.
Yeah, and I like that it just takes place so far removed from everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do like this road that they're taking with this new, you know, Planet of the Apes storyline, just because I do like the Planet of the Apes world. And when you tell this story, especially with, you know, the CG that they could capture, the ape CG, which is flawless. I still think the CG for the previous two Planet of the Apes,
especially,
are better than what this trailer was, just visually. Cause there's something about it that it's just like, holy macaroni. Like, that's photorealistic. This one has a lot of CG background, which,
yes,
I guess because it takes hundreds of years past those movies, there's a different world that's been created. But yeah, I'm super excited because it's going to be like, the humans are really on the run now, right? Like, they're very scarce.
Yeah.
And the apes now rule the world.
Yeah, it looks great. I think the performances are incredible. It sounds amazing. I just want to know, where is it going to go from here, right? I mean, we know Wes Ball is going to be doing a Zelda film. Are they going to continue? Is this like the start of a new trilogy and they're going to move, like, go from there? I really wonder. And I mean, there's so much possibilities, but it looks great. I love when trailers also have repetition in it. And I think of, you know, obviously the breathing in A Quiet Place. This recap saying, "What a wonderful day." And I, like, it keeps saying it, and it makes it sound like so intense and like over the top. You're like, oh, this is really cool. And again, it seems like they have a story to tell. So I'm all for more stories in this universe.
His name is Proxima Caesar. Yeah, it sounds like he's supposed to be from
Caesar's. It does. Yeah, Caesar's lineage, right? Yes, like, yes. I think that's the, so very Proxima. So you're right. It sounds very Transformers.
And Freya Allen is one of the lead stars of this film, and she was on our show as well.
Yeah, she was for The Witcher.
Yeah.
Really, look really cool. That. Yeah, and yeah. So this is taking place around 300 years after Caesar's time.
That's a lot of years.
It's a lot of generations.
It's a lot of generations.
The ending of the trailer was really cool. Jump and grab scene was really, really
cool. Oh my God. Yeah. No, it's all good. It just looks great. I mean, I also think the benefit of them being a little bit more removed from the world of, you know, Matt Reeves is that because these apes are even more evolved, their facial animations are a lot more bigger and more humanistic than we've seen before. And right. I think it's gonna be a really good movie. I'm so excited for it, and I'm glad we don't have to wait too long for it. continuing on, we have Wicked, which is starring Cynthia Erivo, Ariana Grande. We have a crazy cast. This is also coming from John Chu, who did the Crazy Rich Asians. And now we have Wicked coming out. Anthony, what did you think of Wicked?
I haven't seen the musical, but this trailer really excited me. Got me thinking, like, man, I should go, you know, research what this musical is and what the story is, and before this movie comes out, just because I've never really followed it. I'm guessing this is the story of, you know, the two witches and how they became part of the Oz witches. Universe. I don't know. Like, I'm guessing this is a tie into the Wizard of Oz, and like, I don't know if it takes place after or before. I think it's after. Is it? I don't know.
Oz before and continuing after Dorothy's arrival from Kansas.
Right, because I saw Dorothy in the trailer, so I'm like, is this after the Wicked Witch is melted? The house falls on her, right?
Right. And then, not on Dorothy, but on the Wicked Witch.
Dorothy dies.
Different take on it.
The house falls on Dorothy.
But what's interesting with Wicked as well is that this is a two-parter. And again, I don't like when movies have part one in their name, because it's just...
Is this Death Reckoning part one?
It is. It's Wicked part one. And then next year is Wicked part two. So combined, this film, or this duology of films, have a $310 million budget.
My gosh.
It's a big budget. It's also, again, I know people know Wicked is a musical, but it's a little hidden in this trailer once again, and it's continuing that trend of films that are actually musicals, but they're not being marketed as them. And I'm looking at The Color Purple, which even though there's music in the trailer, it's a little hidden. Wonka, Mean Girls, like, there's a lot of, you know, movies that are kind of hiding that they are musicals.
Why is that? They're hiding that? They're not making them, man. They're making these musicals, but they're hiding that they're musicals. It's just strange to me that you don't want to promote. If you feel that a movie, you know, if you're going to build a movie that's a musical, why not promote it as a musical?
Because they're hoping to win over people who don't like musicals, right? Because I feel like the consistent stigma is, I talk to most people and they'll be like, I don't like musicals. I'm like, yeah, totally. I totally understand.
Then why make it a musical?
Because there's still a group of people that do like it, and there's still people that will always be like, I don't like musicals. Then they'll go watch one and be like, I enjoyed that musical, and this might be that musical that they enjoy. Like, again, like myself, I can say that I'm not much of a musical fan, but a lot of the movies that I really love actually are musicals. And it surprises me. La La Land, even like The Lion King, a lot of our, you know, animated films from back in the day, they're musicals, but I still don't consider myself a musicals guy.
So you're telling me the only way we could get you to watch a musical is to trick you
butts and seats
yep. into butts thinking seats, it's baby. Not a musical, then saying it's a musical right when the movie starts.
Yeah, because I don't think I typically go for musicals, right? Like when I look at the movies that I'm excited for in the year, the musicals really so typically aren't on the top of my list.
Because if you're a fan of musicals, then you should, not a fan, but if the movies that you eventually watch that you've been tricked into that are musicals you like,
it's nuts, right?
You like they musicals, though. I think it's just like the word musical.
It's weird. I think that's what it is, right? It's like there's a subtext to it. I don't know. There's something to it that people see, it's a musical. I don't want to hear people singing. But again, the original Wizard of Oz is a musical. Wicked was a spinoff of that Broadway show musical. So people hopefully going into Wicked aren't going to be like, this is a musical? Yeah, dummy. It is a musical. Always been a musical. It's been the whole time. But you know, it always has been.
Why does it need two parts though? Because I just quickly Googled, you know, how long the stage play is, and it's about 2 hours 45. And I'm like, you could have probably done it in just under that in a movie. So why do you need two parts? That's a big gamble in my opinion, like especially with musicals.
So, and from what I was understanding as well, too, that the second half of Wicked, the songs aren't as loved as much.
They're backwards.
So I was, I was seeing people talking about how, like, it's a bold move for them to do
a back catalog,
you know, a part two where it's not as beloved as like the earlier parts of Wicked. Again, if you're a Wicked fan, let us know if you're looking forward to it. I think this film, it looks a little like, almost like an MCU film sometimes. Like, where I'm like, wow, this is very shot on a set, very CG backgrounds. It reminds me a lot of like the Oz the Great and Powerful or A Wrinkle in Time, things like that. So I hope it's good, you know, but, you know, we'll see when it comes out. Let's get to, I think, our combined trailer of the nights, the one that really surprised us and will break our hearts the most if it is not a great movie. Twisters, directed by Lee Isaac Chung, who you'll know from Minari, which is a beautiful, beautiful film, going from a $2 million budget to a $200 million budget. Anthony, as our resident Twisters super fan, give us your thoughts.
This was a trailer that was unexpected. I think this is the first look at this movie. I don't think there were pictures that were out before. This is really our first look at this movie. So when it trailer dropped, I was like, man, this is a long trailer, and this is a really well edited trailer, because it got me super hyped and it got me very nostalgic from the very first one, because there's a lot of symbolism from that very first one in this trailer. And I got really, really excited for it, just because, you know, the first one was such a, it was like a childhood memory that's been etched in me forever. And, you know, I told the story that I wanted to be a storm chaser and I wanted to chase tornadoes because of the Twister. And it's like the first movie that I ever watched back to back to back to back to back type of thing. So seeing this on the screen, it was just joyous, because you have these huge tornadoes, you have these characters that are, I don't know the story, I just know that the idea was that, you know, Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt's daughter, which is played by Daisy, don't know if that's still a thing, but she was part of, she's, you know, the daughter of the two, and she's continuing their parents' legacy. And you see the little Twister balls that they, in the very first one, with the little pop can, I guess, like umbrellas that they attach to the balls to track the tornado. Like, you'll see stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, this is very similar. They're still continuing their work. They're still trying to follow these tornadoes. But then you have Glenn Powell, who is, you know, the, they call him the tornado wrangler or whisperer. And he's like this loud, obnoxious dude. And I think just the characters that we see on screen just work very well for this world. You have the very loud person, you got the quiet person, you got the team. Anthony Ramos, I'm pretty sure, is like the tech guy. And then there's just tornadoes happening. And what else do you want? And, you know,
sign me the F up for that, you know, 100%.
All I got to say is, like, food. That's a very important scene in Twister. I hope they bring that back. Food.
I'm stoked. Like, this could be, I'm hoping, I want this to be like our Top Gun Maverick. I want this to be our, I want to go to the movies and watch this every week during the summer.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm really looking forward to this
one. I think the story's where this movie, I think visually it looks great. I just think, what is the story? What are they telling us? I know there's going to be some sort of love story for sure, but what is Twisters? You know, what is this world? Because the first one, when it came out, it was just storm chasers. Now that we have that, like, what are you bringing to the table that's different than that first one?
Yeah, are we making the same film again? You know, you're putting an S at the end. You could put the dollar sign at the end. It's Twisters, because you're going to make money off this movie, hopefully. And, you know, Lee Isaac Chung, I think he's a great director. I'm excited to see what he does with the massive budget. You know, we spoke to Anthony Ramos about this film last year briefly when we were talking to him for Transformers. So I'm really hoping it is great. Shabazz, thoughts?
Look, man, we went from one tornado movie to just another. You know, Wizard of Oz, right to here.
Pretty much, that's true.
Very similar films. No, first thing I want to talk about here is the Twister, you know, original of the first film. The poster is iconic. This new poster, same category. Like, I am in love with how the poster for this movie looks. I love the font, because the Twister font always has like this horror movie kind of vibe to it. Like,
terrifying. It scared the shit out of me growing
up. Scary, but it's such an iconic font. The
font alone.
The font alone is just iconic. So when this trailer was happening, man, I was hyped. Like, getting the text overlay, just shots of like the characters of the title dropping in. I was like, fuck yeah, I'm so hyped for this. Twister, the original film, is a movie that my mom and I used to watch a lot. We would always rent it from Blockbuster. I don't know why we didn't just buy a VHS of it. I think at that point, financially, would have made more sense.
But owning always, a movie, dude?
You know what I mean? And we would always watch it whenever it was on TV, all 6 hours of it because of the commercials. Yeah, man, like, just, I absolutely love that film. So to get back into a world of just disaster films, I'm so here for it. I told my mom right away, I'm like, Mom, they're coming out with the sequel to Twister. She was like, oh my God, I can't wait. So yeah, very, very
hyped. Can we rent it yet? No, Mom.
Mom, no. It's also, who doesn't want rents nowadays?
I know.
So I would just...
I hope that Twisters look a little darker though, because I like it. Like, in the first Twister, like, they're like pitch black. They look like you are going into a black hole and never being seen again.
It just looks like a movie that's going to be so wicked on IMAX that we're going to be like feeling it in the seats.
The thing about Twister,
that'd be a cool one to watch in 40X.
Oh my gosh.
Oh God. Oh. There's bruises everywhere.
The thing I love about Twisters was like practicality as well. Like, remember that scene with Helen Hunt underneath the bridge and the tornado's like ripping the bridge, and you see the nails popping out of the wood as it's being like lifted, and things like that is just, it's very similar to when you see the T-Rex, you know, when he drops his foot on the floor and you see the little tremble in the water. Little things like that, that practicality just adds so much more value to what you're watching. That's why Twister is such a like a timeless movie, because it's like things that you've never seen on screen captured, even though it's like the very first, you know, the early world of visual effects. And I, you know, you look at Twisters now, like the Twisters do not look great in Twister, but the practicality of it looks fantastic. And I think that's what they're transitioning, and hopefully they did the transition of that practicality in the second one.
I mean, I know some of the visual effects won't hold up, but you're so right, Anthony. You think of like the T-Rex, you think of seeing that Twister for the first time. Those are iconic moments in cinema that make you feel small, that make you have an emotional reaction in your bones, and I love feeling that. And I think that's why when I said I hope this is like our Top Gun Maverick, that is something that made me feel alive watching a movie. That is something that made me fall in love with movies and having that. And I know we're going into this and people are like, you guys are putting too much stake in Twisters. We just want it to be a good movie.
$1 billion
obviously
movie.
We're being swept away by our like the Twisters love, but we just really hope it does well and it delivers that, because we know what the first one meant to all of us. You know, I think I developed anxiety because of that first film. I first felt anxiety and fear was watching that. And that's just the power of what a movie can do to you. Speaking of anxiety and fear, though, we're going to quickly talk about our last three trailers, which is Inside Out 2, Monkey Man, and If. And I'm combining these three because a lot of these big game spots are things that we've seen over the last couple months, but you know, rearranged, shuffled a little bit with a couple of new scenes here or there. Any of these three trailers stand out to you guys? I know Randall Park came in for John Krasinski in the If trailer, which I thought was, you know, it's a great callback to The Office, obviously, for Office fans. Randall Park had a little cameo in that series pretending to be Jim. They're bringing that joke back up. John Krasinski, who is directing the film. But yeah, these three trailers, let's briefly talk about them. Whoever wants to start, by all means.
I think the one that stands out for me, and I think this is, we haven't had a chance to talk about it because we haven't done an episode like this, is Monkey Man. I think Monkey Man is very exciting. I'm very interested to see what Dev Patel has in store for us. I really like how this is shot. I like the cinematography. I love the color palette. I love the story. I love the, you know, the effects and just the action sets and what he is going to bring to this world, because it's so different. We haven't seen Dev Patel in a world like this before. He's doing martial arts. He's hand-to-hand combat. He's, you know, this legendary figure. It's very, very cool. It's a very nice surprise, because I didn't expect this movie to be coming out this year. I had no inclination that this movie was coming out. So Monkey Man is one of the most anticipated films for me, because when I saw it, I was just shocked and excited. I'm like, oh, this is something I need to watch. Mm-hmm. But that's it. The other two, sure. Inside Out, I don't have much to say about it. Like, they have hockey.
Hockey looks great in it. love the first
flag.
Inside Out.
Canada flag.
Love the first Inside Out. It's one of those things that I'm worried, like, okay, the first one is amazing. Again, I know Pixar is really good at, you know, their original films. When they got sequels, they were like, Toy Story 2, Pixar really didn't do sequels too often until the last decade. So I'm like, I'm hoping that they could nail it with this one again, because that first Inside Out felt like, magic. You know, a real magic original film for Pixar, and they didn't have one that really hit for a few years before that, right? So yeah, we'll see where it goes. Shabazz, how about yourself? These last three trailers.
What Anthony said about Monkey Man is just spot on. The movie looks really raw. I think that's what I'm so excited about, is that we're seeing a different, you know, part of the world that we're not used to seeing. You know, a lot of movies do not take place in India that we see in Hollywood. And to see someone like Dev Patel really, I guess, putting it on and giving us a story that feels like a great representation of his, of where he's from, and also just like a love letter to, you know, being from his culture. Something about it just feels very awesome. It just feels like, oh man, I know that we've gotten so many great action films in the last couple of years. We're not even too far away from the last, you know, John Wick 4, but something about this still just feels fresh. It just feels like I don't know what to fully expect with this movie. Like, so much could subvert my expectations about when I actually watch it. I'm a little iffy on it, to be honest with you. I don't know why. Something about it, it just isn't attracting me. It might be some of the character designs, I think, that just kind of throw me off.
It kind of blended in. So I'm like, if Monkey Man doesn't?
No, sorry. Like, okay. I know. I should have been again, like...
I'm with you too. I think the character designs and if are throwing me off. I think... you know, it's a weird hybrid animation
on the character. Yeah. Also
and also
feels
the name.
Off.
I'm not a fan of the name at all.
Yeah. If, I get it. I get no. The name. If imaginary friend, you know, it's clever. And I think that also if you're trying to track this movie towards maybe kids and also then, you know, adults with children, sure. Like, I think maybe that might hit for them, but I don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm like, I love John Krasinski, so I want to be pleasantly surprised. But Monkey Man looked dope. Inside Out 2, also Daniel, just like you said, it's a sequel of a Pixar film. We have a somewhat of an okay track record with that. And it also has, again, that weird sequel-itis of some of the main big names like Mindy Kaling and Bill Hader aren't coming back. You know, it's not directed by Pete Docter. So sometimes these kind of, the main character, one of the new characters in this movie is Anxiety. I'm getting a little bit of anxiety thinking about Inside Out 2 and if it's going to be good.
You know, I mentioned earlier about, you know, Pixar leading up to Inside Out. And so we had in 2010, we had Toy Story 3. The year before that was Up. A year before that was WALL-E, Ratatouille, and the most iconic films. Post 2010, we had Cars 2. We had in 2011. In 2012, we had Brave. In 2013, we had Monsters University. So we had a good 3 years or so where these films did okay, but they weren't, you know,
it was
Pixar
first rotten, though, eh?
Royalty.
First rotten, right. Movie and then, as well.
Yeah, and then now we had Inside Out that really made people fall in love with that. And then post that, we've had, you know, The Good Dinosaur, Finding Dory, Cars 3, Coco. Again, 2 years later, we had to wait for that. Incredibles 2, a sequel that was good, but it made a shit ton of money, but also isn't as remembered as much as the first film. Same with Toy Story 4. And then we had Onward and Soul and Luca Turning Red, and we had the Disney Plus years of Pixar. So now we're finally, you know, turning that corner, hopefully. And
yeah, we had Lightyear as well, right?
Yeah, Lightyear being their first return to theaters, which again, didn't do too hot at all in theaters, which is wild to think.
You know, it's just been kind of safe, I think.
Elemental did well, luckily. You know, it had a big turnaround afterwards. The director of Inside Out 2 is Kelsey Mann, who has worked at Pixar for a long time, has been with Pixar since 2013. And she's worked on all of the films that we just spoke about. Monsters U, Good Dinosaur, Onward, Soul, Luca, Turning Red, Lightyear, Elemental. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Inside Out later this year.
It's a very beloved, you know, movie. So the fans are very protective of it as well.
100%. But we'll see what comes of it. And, you know, that's another Super Bowl in the books. I mean, I know we're going to have a lot more trailers. Probably the next big wave of trailers that we'll start seeing is March and April with CinemaCon rolling around. Any final thoughts on anything from the night, be it the halftime show, Taylor Swift's, the winners of the Super Bowl trailers, anything?
We did get another trailer, and it's the one that came out earlier. It was for Moana 2. So they, I guess they re-showed that one tonight as well.
Oh, I totally missed that.
Yeah. It was, it's the same. It's just like a very like teasery kind of trailer. So I wonder how that goes. We keep reading the reports that this was the Disney Plus series that they've kind of like gone ahead and now turned into a movie. And if anyone remembers from back in the old Disney DVD, straight to DVD days, that was when the sequel isn't going to do so hot. So they were like, shit, we'll make a show. The show's not going to do well. Let's edit it together to make it into a movie. So it's very reminiscent of that.
Was there any movies that you expected to have seen at the Super Bowl? Because like Twister and I would say Deadpool Wolverine were the two unexpected. I thought we would see like Dune or something else just for the month of March and May March, April, May, those 3 months. There wasn't a lot shown, even though these trailers like If and Planet of the Apes and like these have come out with teasers beforehand and trailers beforehand. Was there any movie that you thought, well, yeah, they should have actually took the money and spent it on a 30-second?
That's a great question. I mean, there's a lot of big movies coming out this year. I would have loved to see, it may be too far out to start marketing it, but
Gladiator,
100%. Bad Boys. There's a lot of big movies. Joker. Yeah, Bad Boys has been shooting, I think. Oh, wow, right?
I know that. Joker, you know, surprised about, to be honest with you. I thought
Joker, I know it's later this year. It's October.
Right.
But, you know, it would have been interesting to see, like, oh, shit, they're confident in this. And Lady Gaga was at the game, too.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, maybe.
Yeah, these are all pretty much just summer films, right? Like, I mean, I think the latest really we're getting is July here, July 26th. So
it's pretty late in the summer.
It is pretty late in the summer, right? Yeah. But I mean, I think that's it.
Well, that concludes the movie podcast Super Bowl extravaganza. Of course, if you want to stay up to date with everything we have going on this week, we have lots of new episodes coming out. You don't want to miss anything. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube, listen on all podcast feeds, wherever you listen to us, leave us a comment, leave us 5 stars. If you're listening on Spotify, vote in the polls, comment on a specific episode, vote and let us know what your favorite Super Bowl trailer of the night was. We love doing these polls and we love seeing everyone engaging with them, so please do that. And again, if you have a couple bucks to toss our way, support us on Patreon. Everything you need to know is in the show notes below, including where to follow us on all social media platforms. That was this time with the Movie Podcast, and we'll see you next time.